Hello and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here. So let's do this. Your career is shifting, your business is shifting, your overall job title is shifting, but there are certain things that are blocking you. I feel like we've talked about this a lot. This shift has been coming for a while. I remember talking about it, like just coming into you and receiving it, but now we're here. We're here, we're ready for the shift. And this conversation is like, it's supposed to happen today. You know, like we're supposed to be there today. We're supposed to be in the shift today, but there are some things that seem like are holding us back a little bit. So this is kind of like, you know, when you've been like calling your girlfriend for the same problem for like the past few months, and then like this is kind of like the final call that she can take. She's like, okay, after this, I need to like draw some boundaries. Like I can't be so like compassionate with this person who's like overly doubting themselves. That's what today's conversation is. And it's for you, for me, for all of us. So, you know, no shame in this game, but I'm hoping that we can release that doubt and release kind of a way of being that was okay a few months ago, but is going to start to cause problems going forward. So let's look at these blocks. Message number one. So the first block that is really blocking you from that career shift or that business shift, that job shift is not understanding that this is actually an identity shift, and that are we really holding and leading with that identity shift? So like, for example, if it's like, I want to be a writer, am I actually calling myself a writer? If I want to no longer, you know, this is not a business thing, but like no longer be a single person, and am I calling myself like a person in love? So it doesn't even feel like it's too much of a far stretch. Like it doesn't really feel like it's too much of a leap that this identity shift is like right in front of you. So it's because it's funny, this is just an overall like title change or promotion. So consider giving yourself a new title, consider telling yourself a different I am. And that's going to lead a lot. Like we're going to see that like as you start to take that in, then your behaviors change, your life changes, but you have to understand that you are shifting from one identity to the other. And maybe there's a little bit of a fear there, you know, like as simple as like, I don't know, I remember like the fear of shifting from like the single girl to the girl that was married. Like I remember that time being like really, really scary. Like I was afraid of shifting and leaving behind all the maybe the perks that come with like not being married, right? And being afraid of like moving into that next shift. So even though it was something I wanted, there are some perks of like staying the maiden, you know, there are some perks of like staying the intern, like remaining the student or remaining the assistant. Like we're not all like excited about the next move, you know? So maybe taking a moment to like look at all these perks that come with like where you're at right now. And it's probably just like less responsibility overall. But also know that like, is that less responsibility really worth it compared to like where you want to go? And also, it is kind of painful to be here. It's painful to be in this place where like you have not allowed yourself to move into that next identity. So really having that convo with yourself a bit, and also using words that really help cement that new identity. So perhaps like giving that new identity a name, maybe you see it as like a job title, but like really telling yourself, I am this over and over again. I remember when I first started my work, I had a really hard time like saying what I did or who I was. I was like constantly changing my email signature. Like this was a thing that I did all the time. Or, you know, when it became Instagram, like changing my Instagram, like little profile all the time. And I would like change it depending on who I was talking to. I was like obsessed with like the right identity. And ultimately, I learned that it's not like that identity that I'm looking for. It's more this identity that I need for myself to ground myself into it. Like I need a term that I can ground into right now and know that like no identity is ever really going to like fully tell the truth of who I am. But in certain seasons of life, I need identities to ground myself. So, you know, it's not this identity for other people. Like, it's not really like a term that you're going to be giving to other people, but more a term that you can ground yourself into every day. So something that helps you be like, I am this, you know, for now, for this season, so that I can get the perks of being that new identity. So coming up with a term for you, and that may not have anything to do with this email signature or anything like that that you offer, but more what is it that like you need to ground in to this new identity. And as for email signatures, I still change them all the time too. It's like not a constant, but I do, like, I'm like, yeah, this doesn't fit me anymore. I like want to change it to this, and I'll do that often. And what I have learned about putting a label on myself for the exterior, it's always like people will decide what you are. Like, you don't really have to tell them what you are. Like, they will decide what you are as long as you're showing up and acting as and being. Like, you're going to be something, and you need to be consistent in that being, right? It's like, I'm consistently in this being. And then all of a sudden people use their different words based on like their backgrounds as to like how to explain you. But that's not really like your job, you know? So I leave it like that. I'm like, oh, call me whatever you want. Like, I am not offended by whatever you call me. I stay consistent in my being, and whatever word you need to like best explain what you are experiencing in me is like totally okay with me. Message number two, a block seems like it's coming from thinking that you need to earn this next shift or this next place or this promotion. But really, it's not an earning. It's more of a claiming. It feels like this is already who you are. You have been thinking about it or feeling into this, or this is like who you are at your core, right? Like, sometimes like we've been living according to like what we've been told to do, right? So like maybe it's like I've been living more masculine, but the truth is like my essence is very feminine. So as I move into this feminine shift, does not mean that I have to earn the feminine shift. Like, I just am reclaiming what I truly am anyways, and I'm letting go of what is not really me. So really watching your earning. Earning is from this old place, this old identity, and earning is not going to help you here, because what's funny is that earning seems like it really causes you to get into your head a lot. And that is like the worst place for you to be. Like, you need to be, you need to claim. It's like kind of, it's moving into your own flow, your own frequency. It's a lot of unlearning, a lot of undoing. So that's why it's hard. And that's why like there's a lot of things like processing almost. And like you're trying to catch the fast process with your mind, but it's like the mind can't catch this fast processing. Like, it just kind of has to happen. So this is a hard one, because I like, you know, it's natural to want to do this and like get caught up in being part of the shift. You're like, well, okay, I'm here for it. Like, what can I do to like be part of the shift? But then it turns into this like earning and like making it happen, when the truth is it's just like letting this happen, like letting yourself be who you truly are. And there's going to be thoughts and like a lot of energy moving, maybe some sicknesses and headaches and like overthinking, but that's just like the what's trying to leave you and what's trying to come forward. So there's like this energy trying to come forward and then this old energy trying to leave. And it really doesn't need any of your help. It reminds me of pregnancy. Like, it doesn't need any of your help. Like, the baby's going to be made, you know, like doesn't need you to go in there and like start assembling an arm. Like, the arm is just going to come. So, but it also is a ton of energy, right? Like, you're tired and your body's growing and all these things are happening, but like it's happening with or without you. So funny enough, during this time, we're going to see a ton of rest. Like, the more rest and the sleep that you can bring in is great, because the energy is just trying to come forward. As long as you're not overthinking it, and as long as like you're letting the energy shift happen, that's what's really being asked of you. And when we think about claiming, or even like the word embodying, it's also accepting and just being like, yeah, like this is where I'm going. And I think to me, accepting is also a lack of doubt. You might be scared and nervous and unclear, and there might be a lot of unknown, but there's an acceptance of like where your life has brought you, like where this moment has brought you to right now. Like, this is where I'm at. And just really breathing in and accepting that, and just being like, yeah, this is, my life is changing. Like, I can no longer be that. I'm obviously moving into a new identity. My career is shifting here. Like, I can't fight it anymore. Like, it's happening. Like, I have accepted this and I receive it. Message number three. So this shift is the equivalent to a new promotion. So if you've ever worked in more of a corporate setting, or any sort of job that, like, you know, they promote you from this title to the next title, typically, like, when you're promoted to that next title, obviously there's a ton of new expectations of you. Like, you're expected to act a certain way differently. You have new responsibilities. There are things that you are expected to do and things that you're not expected to do. And what's easier about, you know, being promoted at, like, a company is that there's usually somebody above you that's, like, telling you what those things are, like, what those expectations are and what they're not. And also, they're the ones, like, you know, keeping track and making sure you're acting as if. If you're working for yourself, that's hard to do, you know? And if you're the boss yourself, you're like, I'm promoting myself, but, like, nobody is watching over me. So this is a promotion. So it may be helpful to write out, like, if you were about to hire somebody for this job, like, what would be that person's, like, what would be the things that they would need to do? Like, what's the job description? So maybe even the writing out that job description so you can actually see it from that point of view. And what I see the most is not so much that you are going to take on more, but almost like you don't really know what you're supposed to not do anymore. And that's, like, the most confusing part. So you're not adding more to your plate with this promotion. You're just taking on things that are more important, that are more in your zone of genius. They're, like, necessities, like, only things that you can do. And then there's these other things that, like, other people can do, and that's what's being hand off. So I feel like some of this is coming from a place of, like, overwhelm. Like, yeah, I'm excited to, like, move into this new shift, but I'm just adding more to my plate. So, for example, like, I have this new obsession, for whatever reason, to make vlogs. And I don't know, like, it's just a new creative venture of mine. I made my first one. It's not that great, guys. But when they start getting better, I will share them with you. But right now, they're, like, not so great. But of course, like, I might be like, oh, I'm so excited. Like, I've added on title of, like, vlog creator, you know? I'm excited to, like, add that into my business or to, like, shift into that mode. But I can't, if I'm just, like, thinking about adding that to my plate, then I'm really going to be overwhelmed by all the things that are on my plate. So it's kind of like a closet. I always say, like, if you're going to bring in a new clothes into that closet, like, there's probably things that you need to take out. So I do want to take on this new shift, but I can't let myself be like, well, I'm just going to add more to my plate. I actually have to look at what needs to be passed on to somebody else. Like, what are other things that I can hand off? What are the things that are truly important and not important? And that's going to look like making a list of your current role, like what you currently do. What are your current tasks? What are the things that are on your plate? Make a list of the things that are on the next plate and see what can be handed off so that it's not a block of overwhelm, right? Because when we're overwhelmed, we just don't make any moves at all. So this, you know, you may really want to make this shift and you're like, no, Nikki, like, I'm excited about this shift. But you have that paralysis going on where, like, you're like, oh, all these things that I need to do, like, there's no way that I can get all this done. Or you're, like, pushing yourself to an extreme and, like, working very hard, and then you get really exhausted. So you're not taking on two jobs. You're taking on a new job. It's a promotion. So making sure that, like anything, you promote yourself and there's somebody else that comes underneath you, and that might be having to hire some help or handing some things off to, like, people that are already on your team. So you really want to look at this as a promotion. What if love isn't something you have to chase, but something you can tune into? Hey friends, I've created a new audio series inside the Clarity app called Wired for Love. It's a collection of 14 voice notes designed to help you align your energy and your mind with the truth about love. My intention is that you listen to one note a day for 2 weeks, and after those 2 weeks, you will be more aligned with your destiny, which is to be in a loving relationship. Each message starts with a truth, like, what you seek seeks you, or it's safe to trust yourself. Because when your thoughts and energy are aligned with love's truth, love naturally finds its way to you. When you're in this zone, manifestation happens easily. So if your heart is ready to receive love, but your energy feels a little off, listen to Wired for Love, now streaming exclusively in the Clarity app. Love is meant for you. I know that. We just need to wire you back to your truth. Message number four, money. Oh my gosh. There is so much thought of money right now. There's so much thought of money right now that I'm like, I don't even know where to start when it comes to the content. Like, I know I need to make money content, but it's like, I don't even know where to start. But anyways, I feel like every piece of content that I'm making, like money comes in somehow. And it just looks like it's on your mind. And I get it. Of course it's on your mind when you're shifting. Like, and it's not a typical promotion where you're like, here, like now here's an extra $20,000. Like, no, you're working for yourself. That's like not how it works. And you're like unsure if that money's actually going to come with that promotion. You're like excited about the promotion and the shift, but like, does money come with it? So I see the thinking of money. So I want to talk a little bit about it. Money in this case is going to follow value, and value is in you, right? It's like, I am valuable. My work is valuable. My voice is valuable. My presence is valuable. People are lucky to have me, right? I remember when I was a young editor and I was moving up in my career and I was like getting like the next best jobs. And I remember like showing up to one of those interviews with this really big New York City publication. And I was just like this little Miami editor. And I'm like sitting there and having the interview. And the editor was like, my God, like, you're so confident compared to like all the other Miami people that I met. And I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. But I remember thinking to myself, like, yeah, you guys are like lucky to have me. Like, I'm the best in Miami. Like, that's kind of the way I thought about myself. I'm like, I'm going to do a great job. Like, I'm good at what I do. I may not know how to do everything. I may not be the most amazing writer, but like, I got heart and I'm like, I'm going to give you my best. So I just knew that like I had value, right? And then in a weird way, it showed the editor, like she thought I was more valuable and I ended up getting the job because I guess I must have presented value, right? So value, you know, comes like from feeling it within, but also of course, like in this promotion, you might be giving a new product, right? So I just talked about like, I'm obsessed with like playing with these vlogs. I just made my first one. It's not like super valuable yet. You know, it's valuable where it's at because maybe it's valuable to watch somebody just starting. Maybe it's valuable to like watch me tinkering. There's a lot of things that are valuable about it, but you know, the product itself is not like the most valuable yet because I'm still getting good at it. So obviously you have to find the value in that moment, right? So like, I'm like, oh, it's valuable because of this, but also there's a place for, and also, I'm going to keep making this better. Like, I want this to be like the best vlog it can possibly be. But not to say that there isn't value in my beginning stages. Like, not to say that there isn't something valuable about watching somebody in those beginning stages, right? I was just watching this video of Mr. Beast. You guys know that guy? He's a big YouTuber and my kids like watching him or whatever. And he's like, yeah, I think he's like 28 or something. And he had made this video, I guess when he was like 17, I think he's 27 and he made the video when he was 17. He made this video when he was 17 that he scheduled on his YouTube channel to post 10 years from then. So like at 17, he basically like uploaded this video and he said, okay, it's going to go up 10 years from now when I'm 27. And it was like such a cute video. It was like the 17-year-old like just saying like, I'm going to have a bunch of subscribers and I'm going to be a YouTuber and all these things. And it was like filmed in like his horrible camera, just like off his computer. He had like no background. He was in his office. Like, I mean, his office, look at, he's 17 and like literally in his bedroom. It was so cute. And then it was him now like watching that video and like having reactions. And it was just super cool because he's a super, you know, he's like, I think he's the biggest channel on YouTube. He has several channels with several millions of followers. And there is value in seeing him at that stage, like at the very beginning. There is value at seeing him 10 years ago and seeing like how he started, where his mindset was, like what he was doing. Like there's so much value in that, right? So no matter where you're at, even if you're just starting, there is value here. And like you have to find that value and also hold space for getting better at whatever you're doing. You know, like, yeah, of course you're going to increase the value in small little ways. And increasing the value is kind of like how a athlete increases the value, right? Like an athlete might have like a lot of natural talent, but at some point they start tweaking very, very small things in order to get like a little bit faster or a little bit better. That's the same way that like maybe I'm killing it on my videos on YouTube, let's say, but then I'm going to tweak very small things like this thumbnail is in purple, but I think that it's going to increase, you know, viewership if I put it in blue, like super small things that like you would barely notice. But at that point, I have to increase the very small things. What's cool about being a beginner is that you can increase pretty much anything, like get better at anything, and it will give you a bump and give you an increase. But you have to like look for those things, right? So you're going to create more value, of course, as you go. But right now where you're at, you have to see like what value you have now in order for money to actually flow. And then speaking to that value, you know, like really finding and basically like imagine if you're pitching somebody to give you money, like imagine like you're pitching a company, like you need to explain to them like why in this moment you are more valuable than like XYZ who is like really big in the space, right? So it's like maybe, well, I only have 10 people that are really interested in the work that I do, but they're like super engaged and I know them all individually and I can get all 10 of them to buy like the product that I'm selling on my podcast channel or whatever. So really finding that value and then leading with that value, and that's where the money comes from. So there is money at this stage, no matter like what stage you're meeting this promotion at, there's money here, but you are the one that has to decide like what the value is and also work on seeing your own value, right? So every day, maybe you add a ritual to your day where you are reminding yourself like why you're valuable, what you're doing. You're basically like brainwashing yourself to be like, this is amazing. Like this product is so good. So yeah, consider adding a ritual to your mornings or at any time where you start to really tell yourself why this is valuable. It's like a type of manifestation. You're like, okay, I'm gonna take this one thing and I'm gonna really feel it. I mean, like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. I'm doing such a great job. People love it. Like you look at the one person that told you what you did was great and you amplify that thing, like you multiply it. You feel that feeling of like, yes, this person like loved it and it added value. And then you start to amplify that and expand that feeling in your body. And you can do that for 5 to 10 minutes a day and really start to see the value here. So me in the beginning, when I was doing readings, I wasn't necessarily the best reader at all when I first started, but I thought readings themselves were amazing. So what I was telling people was valuable was a reading. And I was like, you can do it with me or you can do it with somebody else, but readings are so valuable. And I spoke from that, you know, that fire, like, because the value always like adds a little bit of a fire and a passion to you. And it's actually like what allows you to sell. It allows you to like put things out there is from seeing value and being excited about you. Because as humans, like we can't help but see value and like not tell people. Like if you had a really great experience at a hotel, it's like gonna be really hard for you to keep that to yourself. Like if you were like, wow, that was so valuable, you're gonna be overflowing with that information and you're gonna be so annoying like telling other people about this thing. So then of course people get excited and they're like, here's my money. But you might be accidentally like selling a hotel, you know? and people are gonna be like, yes. And like that friend of yours just spent $5,000 with that hotel. You got nothing from there. But if you used that same passion for the value that you see, but for yourself, for your own things, or for whatever your goals are, then that money will come to you rather than to the other people. And just to add a little tip here, I saw that there is value in how you're presenting the thing. So it felt to me like the packaging, the aesthetics, the look of it. I know we don't all love to like play that game, but I do see that getting you far. So maybe it's branding, it's the way you present it, the packaging. It could be logos. It could be even the way you take like a topic and explain it or write about it, or there's something about the looks of it that is actually going to really up the value. So it's just a little tip. Message number 5, we are past the confusion time. What's interesting about where you're at is that you were in a cocoon for a really long time. And I would say you're still in the cocoon. You're like 25% left of the cocoon to go into the butterfly. But there was something about the cocoon period of your time that really allowed you to reflect and to be confused. Like there was a reason to be confused. Like you needed to go back and forth on the idea and think about it and like sit on it and reflect on it. Like that was very important. That was like exactly what you needed to do. But now in this new stage, it's like time to let go of that reflection and move forward on something because it's time. Like simply because it's time. It's like, I may not be ready to be the butterfly, but like this shit's happening whether I like it or not, right? Like I am busting out of this larva, you know, whether I like it or not. This weekend we were in the campsite and we love to hang out in these hammocks. And I was like sitting there in the hammock with my son and I was like, oh, we're in the cocoon. And he starts like busting out of the hammock. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're becoming the butterfly. Like whether you like it or not, like it was a very messy process, but it was happening, right? And that's kind of how I see you. Like there was a time to be in the cocoon and you did that great job. And even confusion is part of the cocoon process. And you might be used to being in that place where you're reflecting and throwing ideas back and forth and overthinking things. And there was a reason and a purpose for that, but there is no reason and purpose for it now. So it's a habit at this point. Like that confusion is a habit. Like you've become really good at the habit of being confused. And it's time to let that go, to understand that when we move towards that butterfly stage, when we're like busting out of the cocoon, what is appropriate now is to pick something and go, even though it's messy and even though you don't know how it's going to turn out. It's really what's appropriate now is to commit, to stick to something, to go, to like see it through, to let like the fullness of following something to really show you what it's going to be. There is no right or wrong. There is no like better idea than the other. It's really about like committing to being in the beginning stages of the butterfly. That's what it's about. So we have to let go of that habit. And that's sometimes hard because especially when we're trying to live an intuitive life, we get into that place of like in a moment that was the intuition. It was like to sit with something, to reflect with something. And now the intuition is like, oh, actually, like my mind is so used to doing this and I have to retrain my mind to accept the unknown and to move into this place where we're committed to something, even if we don't know where it's going. So it's a little tricky, you know, but hopefully if you are resonating with this message, you can take this message as your intuition and be like, yeah, no, like this really resonates with me. So then with that, your intuition has just spoken to you. So now you're like, okay, I'm going to be committed to training my mind to move into a place of letting the unknown lead, right? So basically saying like, I am going to do something even though I don't know what's gonna come of it, but I'm going to be in movement and action and I'm going to move. Like I'm gonna move my little legs and make things, you know, work and flow with it even though I don't know what's gonna happen. And I'm getting, get my body and my mind comfortable with now this new stage. And then after the stage, you know, what's gonna happen is confidence and like, cool, like, I know what I'm doing, right? Like, it's me on this podcast, but me on this podcast 2 years ago was completely like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. This is the unknown. I don't even know if this is right or if this is going to work, right? And then that was appropriate for that time. But then now what's appropriate for this time is more confidence because I've been doing it long enough. So you're going to get there, but not by skipping this stage. It's like sometimes we like to be in confusion or in confidence. We don't like to be like in that middle place where we're doing something and having no idea what's going to happen. But that's what this stage is about for you right now. So you're really going to have to catch your mind when it gets caught up in the old habit of confusion and reflection. It's just not really a time for that. Message number 6, there's definitely some comfort and loyalty to the past. So maybe this could even be like, oh, I've been working for somebody for so long and I have a lot of loyalty to that person, or I have a lot of loyalty to that position. Even I have a lot of comfort in that position. And that has to really be looked at with a lot of love, like a lot of gratitude. Be like, oh my gosh, I'm like so grateful for this time that we had together, this position we had together, for keeping me safe, for, you know, all these things. And it's not about like leaving the job, because I don't see all of you like leaving. I see a lot of you just putting 75% of your energy into what is new and maintaining that other 25 of like what is old. And it feels like more like it's on a maintenance plan, but there's all this energy in what is new. So it's okay to like look at what you're loyal to and what you're grateful for with a lot of gratitude, but knowing that it is natural for you to grow. Like the whole point, that the reason God even gave you that opportunity was so that you can become what you're becoming. The way to work with this is to really watch your energy. So that may even mean that like you are going to a 9-to-5, like you are working all day at this job, but perhaps you're just like not giving as much of your energy there. Like you're trying to cruise and like let yourself chill and not get upset by the things that happen or not get caught up in like the drama of the politics of the office. Like there's little ways to really bring your energy in and really watch your energy so that you have energy for where you're going and kind of what you're doing. So for me, I remember when I left my last full-time job as an editor and I started to work for my husband because I knew I wanted to grow this business that I have right now, even though I had no idea what it was going to be. And I just felt that like I was putting so much creative energy into my other job because it was a startup in many ways. Like it was a new public, like a new, I was the editor of the Miami publication, but like that publication was brand new. So it was like a startup almost, like it required so much of my creativity. But I needed my creativity for the thing that I wanted to grow. So I said, you know what? Like, I still need money. I still need a job. So I'm going to go and I'm going to work for my husband and like help him grow his business. And I worked all day for him. Like that was my full-time job. Like I was very much like needed to be there. That was the agreement. But it didn't take any of my creative energy out of me. On the contrary, it actually took like another part of me. It was like very task-oriented and like running a business. It was kind of nice because like the creative part of myself can sometimes be exhausting, but I wasn't giving it to somebody else's brand. Like I was keeping it for my brand. So it feels like it's something like this. Like, is there a way to, first of all, like downshift your energy in what you're currently doing, have a lot of gratitude towards it, but know that you are moving somewhere else and seeing how you can like save your energy for that thing. And maybe that's even a switch of roles or a switch of like how you work, but definitely like having a lot of love for where you came from, but also really honoring where you're going. And finally, message number 7, it's just not that deep anymore, guys. My son, my 12-year-old, whenever I'm like, I guess what he considers dramatic or I'm going too deep into something, he'll be like, mom, I'm fine. It's not so deep. It's not so deep. I'm like, okay, I get what you mean. And that's what this message is about. So there was a time where we were meant to be like deep and dramatic and I don't know, or just like, it was like an immaturity of understanding where you're going. I feel like it's like an immature creative, maybe that's a part of you that thought that this was like very dramatic or like very serious. And the message here is like, it's really not that serious. It's really not that dramatic. It's as simple as claiming the new behaviors of this new person. So like when you were like, okay, I'm promoting myself to this. This is like the, you know, the new job. This is the new shift that I'm making. It's just as simple as being like, okay, a person that is in that job, a person who has made that shift, what are their habits? Like, what do they do every day? What do they think every day? How do they act? What are they doing with their time? My girlfriend recently wrote this post on Substack. Some of you may know Jordan from the Balanced Blonde or Soul on Fire podcast. And I know this process is, you know, obviously we've talked about this. So I know the behind the scenes of this process where like there was a time a year ago or so that she was like, I want to be a writer. Like I want to make money writing. Like that's really what I want to do. Like that's what I went to school for. And she was just like really thinking about all these things, but it wasn't in her present day. So she starts blogging or writing on Substack. And then she wrote this post a couple weeks ago, if you guys want to check it out, where she writes about like the mindset shift that shifted me to make $60,000 on Substack, like in a year. Like, and I remember that year before that she was like, I make zero money from writing, but I want to make my money from writing. And within a year, she made this career shift. Like, it's amazing. And she's about to come, she's writing a new book. It's about to, you know, it's getting ready to go into the editing process and all that. So she's really shifted from influencer or podcaster or whatever into writing. Like, she is making that shift in real time right now. And the post is really about assuming the habit of being somebody who makes money writing. Like she's, I think the title is something like seeing Substack as a job. Like that's it. Like it's not that complicated. Like she's just like assume the position. Like a person that makes Substack at their job or makes money that way, like what do they do? How do they see it? How do they assume the position? Like what are their habits? What are they doing? And she shifted into that and that made a big difference in her life. So that's what this message is about. Like, I know that we want to get into the drama of things sometimes. Like, I am the first that will do that with you for sure. But this is like so much more simple. That's why like today's message is about blocks. So it's really about like aligning ourselves. It's kind of like tough love type of alignment, you know, right now. And like that final message to me is like, if you didn't take anything from this, if there's one thing that you only take, it is really assuming the habits, the mindset, the energy, the action of the new promotion. So it's like, if I'm promoting myself to this, if I'm making this shift, how would that person act? And everything else that feels dramatic and everything that feels like, oh, I need to go deep into this and reflect on this and understand like my mother's way of being brought me here. And I had like, like none of that is important right now in this. Like, you've done so much of that. It is safe to move on to the place where you align and you act like. You don't have to get caught up in the drama anymore. You have done that. You did a great work of going through that and picking it apart and, you know, doing the therapy and all that stuff. Like, you have done that. Now it's time to act. Okay, friends, I loved that episode. I hope that it was supportive. I'm looking forward to these shifts. I can't wait to see it. Send me a postcard when it happens. Let me know how things are going. And all we have to do is show up and act as if. I send you many blessings and much love, and I will see you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time, love you much.